Kim Wagner says wives have a big effect on their husband's work.
It is incumbent to get your marriage right because the marriage relationship actually affects every other area of your life. The man is impacted negatively in his work relationship if that marital relationship is not right.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, March 21st. For several weeks, Nancy taught through the Song of Solomon in a series called How to Fall and Stay in Love with Jesus. Yesterday and today, we're following up with a related series called Enjoying a More Intimate Marriage. Nancy's talking with women in our audience. We'll hear insights they've gotten on marriage while studying the Song of Solomon. If you have younger children with you, know that some of this discussion includes mature topics. Now, let's get back to the discussion.
As a mom of three little kids, cultivating intimacy with my husband, you have to be super intentional. And when I went to True Woman in Fort Worth in 2010 during the panel, Holly Olive said something to the effect, God gives you the energy to what he's called you to do, but so many of us are doing things that he's not called us to do. And that hit my heart because I was looking, so trying to be busy outside of my home with what I thought God was wanting me to do. And it was then that God said, you have an audience of one, and I want you to live out this message in your home with your husband and with your three sons. And that meant cutting things out of the calendar. My calendar, for the most part, is very empty. I mean, it's not full of stuff, so that my husband and I can have FaceTime every day together. We can have date nights monthly. We filter everything through the question of, does this cultivate oneness between us? What time we go to bed, what we're watching, our computer habits, vacations, ministry, everything, is it cultivating oneness in our marriage? And since then, what the Lord has been able to do has been able to move me aside and has allowed there to bloom things that never would have bloomed had I continued to pursue what I thought God was wanting me to do. And as Christian women, as moms, we feel like we need to be busy, 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 busy. And God may say, during this season of little ones, just be focused on your kids and your husband and watch what he can bring to you. I feel like God's brought ministry to my home. People come to my door. I hardly need to leave. The ministry comes to me, and I'm able to minister with my husband, and my boys get to watch it. They get to see us doing God's business, and it's a lot more exciting than feeling like I'm trying to pursue something that God's not doing. He's gone before, so he's laid the path.
Okay, Heather's mom is sitting next to her, and Julie, I just wonder if you're in a different season of life than your daughter, and what would you bring to this discussion in terms of encouraging younger women as you look back on raising your children and cultivating intimacy in your marriage while you're raising a family?
I think back to that time when the girls, we have three daughters, and we all were doing Song of Solomon at the same time. And it really helped our marriage. I wondered if it was going to scare our girls, the topic put a little fear in them at that age, but I can see through the years how it's really blessed all of us. And so I think we should be able to talk to our children about these things freely and openly, even a dad with their children. When you said that the Hebrew men didn't read this until they were 30, right now our kids, 11-year-olds, are so far advanced in what they know, and they need this.
You guys have talked a lot about pursuing your husband, and I was wondering, how can a wife pursue a husband who's let himself go and repulses her?
And that's an important question. And let me just broaden it to say, in the Song of Solomon, we're seeing the ideal. But most people aren't living in the ideal. And we get a lot of emails from women and men who are married to someone that's very difficult to live with. And so when the passion is gone and the attraction is gone and you're starting in a hole, I know there's no quick fix, but how does a wife be expressive, admiring, engaged, pursuing in a marriage where she really isn't any longer, for whatever reasons, feeling attracted to him. And maybe there are good reasons for that, humanly speaking. Speak to that wife.
I think really asking God to change your heart and asking God to let you see him, as you said in the study, as Christ sees you, as God sees your husband, but the potential for who he can become. And physically, that may not happen, but really to focus on who he is, his inner man, and to love him for that, but to ask God to change your heart and to do that work in you.
You want an opportunity to be like Christ, that's a perfect opportunity. You want an opportunity to show grace, that's a perfect opportunity. So we pray, oh Lord, make me more like you, and there's an opportunity to love someone who is not lovely, to show grace to someone who's not showing you grace. And so that's the overarching principle behind it. Then practically what you do is, I think you pray, and I think you do, I mean, the 30-day challenge, I mean, you look for things that you can praise him for. You look for things that are positive, I think, in your husband. And you just persevere in your faithfulness in your marriage, in the part you're supposed to do. And so the challenge is, by the power and grace of God, can we do that to our husbands? And I believe the answer is yes.
And I've heard you say so many times, Nancy, that you make the choice and your heart will follow. And so many times it's just by giving him acts of love, even though your heart isn't there yet, but you're doing it as unto the Lord, and to bless him in that way. And it does change your heart. It does cultivate that love relationship.
Mm-hmm. And let's remember, too, one of the key themes that we haven't seen it unfolded fully yet in this study, but is the transforming power of true love.
Mm-hmm.
You see this in the Song of Songs. This girl starts out as she's been sunburnt by the sun, which we think is beautiful, but they didn't. And she says, I'm dark, I'm not beautiful, my skin is leathery from the sun, and I'm a poor peasant girl. Who am I? I'm not royalty. You know, why would he love me? But he does love her. And by the end of the book, the people are praising her as this beautiful woman. She's been transformed, and what they're seeing is a reflection of his beauty that has become her beauty as she has spent time with him, in his presence, communing with him, the transforming power of love. That's what's happening in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
As God loves us, our lives are being transformed into the image, into his image. Well, could that not also be true in many human relationships? Not all, you know, your walking with God doesn't guarantee that your mate will. But how many times have we seen the transforming power of love in a marriage where one mate sets out to love an unlovable mate with the love of God, the love of Christ, and over a period of time, and this is not to be manipulative, it's just the power of love, of grace. And over the period of time, they have seen God soften their mate's heart, have seen God change them into, you know, things flourish under love.
Yeah.
And don't underestimate the power of living out love to impact your mate. And even if it doesn't, it will change you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find yourself experiencing the shade and the protection and the goodness of God in your humility that might not otherwise have been the case. Everything flows out of the presence of God and your relationship with him. You cannot have a wholesome and holy marriage if you don't have a wholesome and holy relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have a great relationship with the Lord, that doesn't mean that marriage is going to be a piece of cake, because God uses suffering to sanctify, right? God uses hardship, disappointment, loss, failure to change us, to make us more desperate for him, to show us his grace. So there's no easy way to a great marriage. There's no quick way to a great marriage. But the only way to a great marriage is by the avenue of a relationship with the Lord, which is why we start with the heart of this Song of Songs being God's love for us, and that's the source and the pattern and the means, the sustaining means of having a marriage that goes the distance.
I had such a sweet friend when we had been, Dennis and I had been married maybe 12 or 15 years, and all of this, I didn't know any of this when I got married. I didn't know any of this. Nobody talked about this. And I had a sweet friend that we walked almost every day, and she just came alongside and started asking me questions. And I was like dumbfounded, and I'd been married for 15 years, you know. And so she began the process. Really, she was discipling me as a friend in saying, Carrie, this isn't like an option. This isn't, you know, a once-a-month event. She started encouraging me to talk to Dennis about it. And in reality, this was before cell phones, so we only had a house phone. That's caveman days, I know, but... she would call me in the mornings, and oftentimes 6 or 6:30, she would call me and just say, just checking in, seeing how you did with meeting your husband's needs last night. Now, there were times not very many friends called 6:30 in the morning, so I knew, and I wouldn't answer the phone because I knew it was her and I didn't have a good answer. But that sweetness of helping walk through that, and God's given her passion for it. Even today, it really is the life message in her heart, and she's developed a whole blog called 3D Intimacy and ministers to women deeply that are hurting in this area. But I would just encourage us as women to be talking to our friends, making it a part of the discipleship with our married friends, just saying, you know, how are you doing? And using that as an encouragement, so...
It's easy as a single when you hear all this, how hard it is for women to get scared. And especially I have friends who really struggle with fear because of pornography and how that affects men. So do you have anything to say to women anticipating the future?
Well, and even single women hearing from married women how this whole area of sexual intimacy is not something that is easy for them, mm-hmm. and more a need for the men. So you could hear single women saying, why get married? So... why should they get married? Why and anticipate this as a gift rather than a burden?
I mean, we also need to talk about, and we would want to motivate those single women to say, it's a reflection of intimacy and communion with a person that should point us to our love relationship with the Lord. And so it may not come naturally, and you may have to get through some lies you've believed or some issues, some sin. A lot of things in marriage are like that, right? I mean, if it's not that, it's money. It's the way you relate to your parents, your in-laws. I mean, there's challenges, there's tests in any of those things. That doesn't mean we give up or say we don't pursue it or it's too hard or I just can't have that. I mean, the reality is God wants us to have that in marriage. That is His will. And so I think, you know, you're making a great point. Seek an older woman. If that is something you're scared about or as you go into marriage that you seek somebody mm-hmm. out, then you ask them. Now, the challenge is you may ask the wrong person. So you might need to ask a couple of people. Mm-hmm. Because there are moments in my life, if you'd asked me, I would have had to lie to say the right things, you know. So, but if you ask one person and you don't get a great answer, you go on to somebody else. I mean, that's the thing is, I mean, you don't know what's going on in people's bedrooms, right? I mean, so, but I just think it's something you need to pursue and think of in a positive, mm-hmm. intimate, good mm-hmm. way. Huge blessing. Mm-hmm.
It is worth it. It is worth mm-hmm. it to pursue that.
No greater intimacy, ultimately, than abiding in Christ. And that's what you want to see reflected mm-hmm. in your marriage, is that where you become one
right.
soul, mm-hmm. one flesh, one heart, one mind. That's the objective.
I do want to encourage the single women who are fearful that they'll marry someone who has this deep, dark addiction, which I think is very prevalent in our culture, and so I could see how you'd be afraid of it. One thing my dad taught me was to marry a man who was teachable, and if you're pursuing marriage with a man, his character is what you're going to want to filter through, not just your own emotions, but involving other older married couples to say, is this man teachable. Because if he is teachable and if he goes to Christ for issues that surface in your relationship, he will go to Christ when there's issues that arise in the bedroom or financial. So filtering, looking at young men, saying, is his character of high integrity? Is he willing to let people in and be transparent and vulnerable? Is he prideful? Is he humble? Because then you'll see that you may fear there's an addiction there, but if he's willing to live his life, like you say, Nancy, with the roof off and the walls down, you have to know the Holy Spirit will be after him if he has a secret sin. But for single women, knowing that there are men out there with that high quality of love for Christ, there are. I was 28 when I got married. I didn't think there were any left. But God provided a man who had saved himself physically at 31. He was still a virgin and pure. I didn't think that was possible. He's high integrity. He's teachable. I mean, just to encourage the single women.
And I just want to add, one of the things Dennis has said to me over and over is when he and I are doing well in our physical relationship, the struggle, the temptation, which is real to every man on earth, isn't there. You know, it's just so much different when we're doing well in our own relationships. So I want to encourage wives with that.
And what my husband often says when we're meeting with couples is that it is incumbent to get your marriage right, because the marriage relationship actually affects every other area of your life. The man is impacted negatively in his work relationship if that marital relationship is not right. With your children, in your church, really at the heart, if you're married, you must work on getting that marriage relationship right, because it does affect negatively every other area of your life.
Okay, I'm not a public speaker at all, but when Nancy talked about how God can redeem a marriage, during my marriage, one or the other of us has had just about every struggle mentioned today, every sin and heartbreak and difficulty. But God, nothing is beyond him, and he has taken the ashes of a marriage that we and everybody else saw was hopeless and dead, and he has restored it, and he's drawn us together like I never thought possible. He's drawn both of us so much closer to the Lord, and after 30-some years, we're finally having the kind of marriage that is depicted in the Bible, and just don't ever count God out.
Lord, I want to just thank you for that precious testimony that Diane just closed with here. And that is, she just pointed us to your amazing grace and said that the story's not over, that you are a great and redeeming God who is making all things new. Thank you for doing that in her life. Thank you for doing that in her marriage. I pray that women who haven't reached that mark yet, where they're enjoying what you intended for their marriage and they're wanting to throw in the towel and think because of their failure or their husband's or both, that they could never have the sweetness of what we're reading about in the Song of Songs. I pray that they would hear her testimony and take heart and would know that you can restore and redeem the years the locusts have eaten. You really can make all things new. And I pray that they would hang in there, hang to you, cling to you, run to you. And thank you for the reminder, too. We've heard from a number of women today who've been married decades, some of them many decades. And it's a good reminder for younger wives and women not even married yet, to know that sweetness of marriage, the intimacy of marriage as you intended, is not forged overnight. It's not the honeymoon that tests and proves that love. It's the test of time and letting you work and calling out to you and letting you transform both husband and wife. So, Lord, we've heard some challenging words, we've heard sobering words, we've heard encouraging words, But I pray that at the heart of all of it, we would see it's all about grace. It's about running to you to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. So I pray for every marriage represented here, every marriage listening to this conversation, every woman in every conceivable kind of marriage, newlyweds, almost married, married many years, and widows even reflecting on years of marriage. And I pray that in every heart, you would do a sweet work of grace. And for women who are struggling to meet their husband's needs in various areas, including physical intimacy, I pray that they would take the challenge to cry out to you, to ask you for help, to ask you for grace, to ask you for wisdom. There are women listening who are married to men who are addicted to pornography. And we haven't really addressed that question in any thorough way at all. And even if we had hours to talk about it, we can't meet that woman's need the way you can. So I pray that she would cry out to you. And I know that those answers may not be quick, they may not be simple, they may not be obvious, but I know that you give wisdom. And I know that the wife who runs to you will find mercy for her own sins and grace to help her deal with the sins of others, grace to help her in her time of need. I pray, Lord, for single women who've been listening to this conversation, and I pray that their takeaway would not be, oh, marriage is, it's really hard. It is hard, but life is hard, and you are good. And you use these challenges in marriage, we've seen this illustrated here, to sanctify, to change, to conform men and women to your image. And Lord, it's not just about having a happy marriage here, though I think you want that. That's the ideal. But even more than that, it's about being fitted for heaven, being shaped and molded and humbled and dependent and growing and seeking you and broken at the cross and dying to self and to our own aspirations and ambitions and pressing into pain and obeying when we don't feel like it and trusting you for the joy in the obedience. And all of that is about who you're making us so that one day we can have in heaven the full, uninhibited, unreserved, unrestrained, no barriers of sin or shame or guilt, that beautiful, perfect, precious, eternal relationship with you, our heavenly bridegroom.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss. She's been part of a discussion with Terry Morledge, Kim Wagner, and other Revive Our Hearts listeners about developing intimacy in marriage. When you get this two-day series on CD, you'll be able to hear quite a bit more material. Some of this conversation on marriage wasn't appropriate for the radio, but it's included on the CD. The series is called Enjoying a More Intimate Marriage. You can find it at reviveourhearts.com. One of today's guests, Kim Wagner, has written a book that will help you build your marriage. She experienced a loss of intimacy with her husband, primarily because of her harsh words. But she watched the Lord change her heart, teach her how to love, and restore her marriage. She shares very helpful insights from this experience in the book, Fierce Women, The Power of a Soft Warrior. The book is part of the True Woman imprint from Revive Our Hearts. We'd like to send you a copy when you support the ministry with a gift of any size. Just visit reviveourhearts.com or ask for Fierce Women when you call with your gift. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Well, imagine that your husband of 2 years is murdered and you feel all alone in a foreign country. Elizabeth Elliott knows what that's like. As she tells the story, you'll get very valuable insight on how to handle suffering in your life. Hear about it tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.